Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Locked On NHL podcast. It could be the Locked On, we had the same Stanley Cup prediction podcast. It is Thursday. It is Power Ranking Thursday. I am Chris Maselli from Locked On Avalanche. And like I said in the beginning, if you're watching on YouTube, Adam is typically with me on Thursdays. Gil Martin from Locked On Islanders is filling in for him today. And we will be going over a fresh batch of power rankings as voted on by the hosts of Locked On NHL. But first things first, thank you for making this your first listen of the day. That is always appreciated. And you can follow the show on social media channels over on Twitter. I don't think we're on Instagram, but you can follow us on Twitter or on Locked On NHL. All right, Gil, first of all, thank you for filling in. Always a pleasure when you do this. And I like it because we get a fresh pair of eyes. Everybody always hears Adam and I talking about the power rankings and what we think. And I like getting a fresh perspective. So you ready to go and tackle these, what we have for this week?
Always ready to go, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. And you will be usually, and we tell everybody, you know, this is across the network. And usually Adam and I are the ones that get, you know, the vitriol is thrown towards us because we're the host of this show. So you will take the place of Adam, of people kind of mudslinging towards you today. But I think you'll be okay taking that. All right. Let's get the power rankings up on full screen. If you are watching on YouTube, we're going to throw it up right there. And like we always do, we'll go through the top 10 and then kind of just discuss whoever. So once again, and I think we're going to be talking about this, Gil, the Panthers and the Canes don't move. They are number one and number two, respectively. The Colorado Avalanche move up one spot to number three. They switch places with the Lightning, who move down to four. The Maple Leafs stand pat at five. The Rangers and the Capitals switch spots. Rangers go to six, Capitals go to seven. The Penguins move up two to go to number eight. The Predators move down one to nine. And the Knights, the Vegas Golden Knights, move down one to 10. So thoughts on the top 10? I guess we'll start there. Anything glaring? Are you okay with everything? Do you have issues with anything?
Issues, major issues, no. I mean, the Leafs at five, still hanging at five. I might knock them down a peg or two. But overall, I think that the top 10 is pretty representative.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, as we're recording this, the Leafs and the Rangers are playing each other, and it is now tied. It was, I think it was three to nothing. No, it was 3-1 in favor of the Leafs, but the Rangers have come back and tied it. So will that have any semblance on next week's? That remains to be seen if the Rangers can pull that out. Do they bump up over the Leafs? I don't know. But yeah, I agree with you. I think the teams that are in the top 10, I think, are the teams that should be in the top 10. Is there anybody that's on the outside that you should say, that team I feel like should be in the top 10 right now?
No. I mean, the Wild are kind of close. You know, they're at 11, but they went through a little mini slump this past week, so that sort of knocks them out of the top 10 contention in my mind. I think the top 10 is more or less where it should be. What about you?
I agree, man. I think like we are, I don't know. It's odd. I don't think there's nobody that's on the outside, just kind of looking at the few spots after 10 where I'm thinking like that team should be in there. So is the top 10 kind of like separating itself? And you can kind of put, you know, those teams relatively anywhere you want in the top 10. You're not going to move Vegas up to two or anything like that right now. I mean, you maybe could have an argument to move them up to what? Seven?
Six or seven, maybe.
Like that.
Yeah.
But I'm satisfied with these teams in the top 10. And I like that we're getting some movement with the exception of number one and number two. The Panthers and the Canes have had a stranglehold on those spots ever since when the season started, it was Avalanche at one and Lightning at two, or no, maybe it was Lightning at one and Avalanche at two. But since, you know, when those teams dropped out, it's been Panthers and Canes. They've switched spots a couple times. Do you feel like that's, you know, they're there and rightfully so, or do you think, you know, the Avalanche should be up to number two? Should the Lightning be up to number one or number two? Because the Lightning right now are leading the league in points overall.
Right.
You have to take that into account, but not point percentage. So that's, you know, you got to take all that stuff into account. Are you happy with Panthers and Canes at number two, or should somebody have unseated them by now?
You know, for now, I'm happy with it. And you know what I like? And you know, maybe this is my sort of bias. Panthers and the Canes, both non-traditional hockey markets, both teams that don't get as much attention from the national media in North America, whether it's the United States or Canada. And for them to, for our local experts here to give them the respect that I think they deserve speaks volumes to me about the way that, you know, our hosts are being unbiased about this.
I like that thinking, and it's right. You know, especially Florida. Florida, you know, just kind of came out of nowhere last year. And, you know, they've held it firm this year. Very good team. I like that thinking that, you know, these smaller markets or, you know, anything outside of like the big markets or the original six markets and things like that have a stranglehold on number one and number two. Devil's advocate, it's getting boring. I want something else. I just like movement in these things. That makes it more fun. And the Panthers and Canes are not making it fun. It's they're number one and number two.
Yeah.
And I understand it, rightfully so.
You know, and I have to give Florida even more credit, you know, going through a coaching change midseason, not something they wanted to do. All the controversy that swirled around that team as a result, you would think that that would cause them to go into some kind of a slump or make an adjustment. And yet they are still cruising along and playing darn good hockey. So more power to them, I must say.
Excellent. Excellent point. Very true. All right. Let's hear from BetOnline, and then we'll dive into some of the other teams. So, but first, BetOnline.ag would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march into the playoffs and towards the Super Bowl with the NFL. So BetOnline remains the number one spot for all your sports wagering on sports wagering action for 2022. That's a new year and a new updated desktop and a mobile website. And when you sign up today, and you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code Locked On to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager in all of your favorite sports. It's where the game starts. That's betonline.ag. Okay, kind of diving into some other teams here. You know, again, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the rankings on the bottom of the screen. The left-hand column, the San Jose Sharks have made it to the teal of the Sharks logo is on the left-hand side, and I don't think it's been there all year. You know, you had that five goal game
Timo Meier.
I keep thinking Hurdle. I know it's not Hurdle, but all the Sharks hosts do is talk about Hurdle. So I'm just thinking Hurdle. So Timo Meier with the five goal game, impressive. He did it in two periods. Sharks move up 20-16. I'm looking, that might be our big mover for the week in moving up. Sharks are just hanging around. What do you take out of them?
You know, it's an interesting mix in San Jose because they still have some of those veterans, especially on the blue line, guys who are experienced, who have been there, who are getting a little older, and yet they're sort of rebuilding, but they're not rebuilding. You know, a lot of younger players in that lineup as well. I've been waiting for them to fall back down, and they're just not doing it. So a nice mix, and I think the other thing is the goaltending there is finally sort of sorted out a little bit, and they're getting some more consistent goaltending than they have in recent years.
Yeah, and the one thing that Adam and I, we talked about it last week with them, the one thing you have to look at, I mean, right now they are holding the number two wild card spot in the Western Conference, but – you know, you have to take that with a grain of salt. They're only 2 points up on Calgary, but Calgary's got 5 games in hand on them. So it's like, you want to give them credit for being in the position that they're in, but damn, like, I mean, that's 10 points on the board for Calgary to catch them, and they only need 2. So that's something that you just have to watch. If you're the Sharks, all you can do is just go out, play, win, and let the points come where they come. And you can't handle the fact that Calgary had a bunch of games canceled. Eventually they're going to catch up to you. You want to try to just separate yourself as much as you can from them. And when you look at that, you're like, man, that's pretty daunting.
Well, but the advantage for San Jose is that Calgary's schedule is going to be compressed. So they're going to have a lot more back-to-backs, 3 games in 4 nights, 5 games in 7 nights, or something like that. And, you know, that may take a toll on them down the stretch where, yeah, they've got 5 games in hand, but they may not be able to play their best hockey in all of those games because of the compression of the schedule.
Very good point. And you know, with the up and down season that the Flames have had, they looked so good early in the year. And now they've come back down to earth a little bit. They seem to be righting the ship a little bit more, but that's a very good point. It's going to be a really interesting month in February for all of those teams that are getting those games that were canceled back. I don't know off the top of my head how many Calgary had, but they were one of the most postponed teams, were they not? Pretty sure they were
up there. I mean, a lot of Canadian teams had their home games postponed because of attendance concerns. And I understand why the league wants to have as many people in the stands as possible. But as far as being able to finish the season right now on time, I think there's zero margin for error. Now, on the plus side, and I'll put plus in air quotes, what was the announcement? That like 72% of the league has already had COVID at this point during the season. Really? Wow. It's some ridiculously high number. So in theory, hopefully they won't catch it twice, and depending on the variant situation. And we should have fewer players out of the lineup because of COVID down the stretch. But who knows? The way this thing mutates and, you know, creates new variants, it's a tricky situation. But I sort of questioned why they postpone games they didn't have to postpone because of player illnesses. Maybe, you know, short term, I understand it, but long term, it could come back and bite the league in the rear end.
Well, I was asking on my show with my co-host Kyle, the league is no longer going to test asymptomatic players, right? I mean, did they make that announcement official, or is that just going through the wire and it hasn't been announced yet?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Okay. So what I'm hearing, and this is coming like from Elliot Friedman, is, you know, that they're going to stop testing asymptomatic players
right
after the All-Star game. So my question was, why are you waiting for, like, there's no big thing that you have to get in place to say, all right, we're no longer going to test asymptomatic players. Just start it today. It's not that difficult.
Yeah, I guess what they're thinking, maybe, and far be it from me to know what the NHL's logic is, because the NHL and logic don't always go together in the same sentence. But well, I'm trying to be diplomatic. But
I hear you.
But realistically, I think because there are still players on the COVID list, they want to get that out of everybody's system, so to speak, and give players a chance to, you know, wrap that up. They'll get to the All-Star break. That's what, like 4 days off or something like that from actual gameplay, 3-4 days off. And that will allow them to sort of open up a new policy and a new window into the way they do things. But it may be a stretch, but that's the closest I could come to understanding the logic.
That's I'll have to go with that for now. Other than that, I have no idea why I just can't do it today. You're like, we're not going to test you. You don't feel anything, we won't test you. Simple as that. All right, kind of getting back to the rankings here. A team that I just like, you just have those teams that they have no bearing on you. And, you know, I'm an Avalanche fan. That's in the West Coast. Just one of those teams that I just never liked growing up, the Boston Bruins. And I just thought this was going to be the year that they just weren't in. I just thought they were just too old, but they just stick around, and they're playing better hockey, and I have to give them credit for that. And as much as, you know, anybody outside of the Bruins fans can't stand Brad Marchand, he's a producer.
He is.
You can't deny it. You can't deny his production. And no, right now they are at 14 in our rankings, and they hold firm at 14. But they could be one of those teams that can crack into that top 10 if they keep playing this way.
And now they have Tuukka Rask back, which should stabilize the goaltending as soon as he gets back into, you know, game shape and game regular season form. You know, the thing about Marchand, if you're not a Bruins fan, you probably don't like the guy. But I think there are fans of 31 other teams who wouldn't mind having him on their roster at the same time.
I think he is the definition of if he's not on your team, you hate him. But if he's on your team, you love what he does for your team.
I think you're right.
I think if he were, for whatever reason, get traded to the Avalanche, I might have the reaction of like, oh, man. And then after game one, it'd be like, yes, man. I get it. I get the appeal of him when you're a fan of that team. But outside of that, he rubs you the wrong way. But Absolutely. That's his game.
That's his job.
It's exactly right. And he does it well. Does it very well. I mean, they are in their last 10, 8-2-1.
Mm-hmm.
22-12-2, 46 points. Where are they in the division? Fourth in a division. They still got a little bit to go to catch the Maple Leafs. They're 5 points behind them. But playoff-wise, they have that second
wild card
right now, and they're 5 points up. They're 5 points up on Detroit and have 4 games in hand on Detroit. So they have a stranglehold on that second wild card. Boston has a clear path to the playoffs, and that's all that matters. Once you get in, Tampa has proved anything is possible. The Bruins are, I think the Bruins are kind of sitting pretty right now, if you ask me. I like their positioning.
They're in a good place. And optimism, you know, confidence, optimism running high right now in Beantown, and for good reason.
Yeah. What do you think of a team, you know, with the Bruins? You kind of expect it. Like the whole atmosphere around the Bruins is like you are expected to win. And for maybe like the opposite of that, maybe a team that was in rebuilding mode and is kind of overachieving and still playing well, in the Los Angeles Kings.
Mm-hmm.
They are 17 right now in our rankings. They somehow dropped a point. They were 16 last week and dropped to 17, but they're impressing across the board. And I don't know. I mean, did you expect them to be in this running for this year? I thought they were close, and I was looking forward to next year for them, depending on what they did this year. And they're exceeding expectations this year, and they are knocking on the door of the playoffs. And my team, the Avalanche, has them on Friday night. And I'm looking forward to that game to see, you know, how they can hang with one of the, you know, the better teams in the league with Colorado. And I think they can.
Yeah, I think they can as well. And you know, again, that's a team with a lot of young players. They're getting good play from the young players, but then you got, you know, the familiar names, the Anze Kopitars, and did Jonathan Quick go into a DeLorean or something? Because he's playing like it's 2014 again.
I know. He's that guy that just won't go away.
We thought he was done a year or two ago, and now it's like he got the fountain of youth.
It's unbelievable. So, yeah, the Kings, let me see where they're at. They're in second right now in the Pacific, 3 points behind Vegas, same amount of games played. So they're in the thick of it.
As are the Ducks.
And the Ducks won't go away either. I think they've hit a little bit of a rough patch, but because how they started the season, they're reaping the benefits of that. They're staying afloat, and you know, you just got to turn the ship around, have a couple good games, and then you're right back up into the standings. So, yeah, the Ducks I don't think are going anywhere. Pacific is shaping up to be a dogfight to the bitter end. That's going to be fun to watch, I think.
It is. And how far can Edmonton fall? My gosh.
Oh, boy. Edmonton now has fallen to 22. They were 19 last week. I mean, Edmonton has been just about every number on this power rank, with the exception of number one and number two. I don't think they made number two. They were definitely at number three, but they have just been in free fall. Well, first of all, what do you think of that press conference with Draisaitl the other day? That was pretty unprofessional, if you ask me.
It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty.
That was, I don't know. Just handled well by Draisaitl, handled very poorly by that reporter. But yeah, they are at 22 right now, and there's no end in sight for where they could go. Look at the teams below them. Like, who could pass them for next week? If we want to look into the Magic 8 ball, and I think, like, you got the Blue Jackets. So in order after the Oilers, you got the Blue Jackets, the Devils, the Flyers, your Islanders, and the Blackhawks. We'll kind of stop right there. Well, talk to me. Who could leapfrog them and drop them down even more so?
Oh, boy. You know,
can be biased here, by the way. No, it's okay to be biased.
I hear you. I mean, the Islanders are playing better as of late, and I don't think they're getting quite as much respect as they deserve. I mean, 7-2-1 in their last 10. Back to NHL 500. And, you know, the thing about the Islanders right now, they are 1 point behind the Devils, 2 points behind the Flyers. They have 5 games in hand on New Jersey and 7 games in hand on Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that. Columbus, they were doing better a few weeks back, and they're sort of slumping right now. But I still think that they're a team that can bounce back. And, you know, Philly, 9 straight losses right now, 0-6-3 in those 9 games. They've got to get a turnaround. I'm surprised they didn't drop further in the rankings, quite honestly.
Didn't they have – I mean, this is a 9-game losing streak, and didn't they have another 8 or 9 when they made the coaching change? I think
they were slumping. I don't think it was quite that big, but it was pretty bad. And, yeah, talk about inconsistent. And there is talent on that team. I mean, the Islanders just had a home-and-home with them on Monday and Tuesday, so I just watched them 2 games in a row. There is talent on that team. They just don't seem to be playing as cohesively as they have in the past.
Is that what it is? Like, they're just not in sync, the impression that you're getting?
I think they're not in sync, and I think their blue line is a little bit shaky right now. Their team defense needs a little bit of work. But still, you know, they should be able to put the puck in the net a little bit more than they have been also. It's just – right now, the whole is less than the sum of its parts in Philadelphia.
Right. I get it. You know, you're going to have – the teams that are on the bottom end of the league are going to have those holes that, like, okay, this is what we need to address for next year. When you're 40 games in, 42 games in, and you're still not in sync, that's a problem too.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
And you're on your second coach.
That's what I was going to say. You're on another coaching change. But even – I mean, Mike Yeo, wasn't he an assistant coach there? So, I mean, you're not handing it over. Like, look what the Canucks did. They brought in a brand new coach and who was not on the bench. And it's the complete opposite. I can't make heads or tails of that. You would think it'd be the opposite. Like, you get a new coach for the Flyers, but he's been in the system so he can continue or, you know, tweak some things here and there. Vancouver just brings in a brand new coach and they're kind of off to the races right now. They're playing very well. They didn't move. They stayed at 21. Vancouver did for this week, but and then you got the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks, I think, are getting a little bit of disrespect here. They're 27. They didn't move. The Blackhawks have climbed out of the doldrums of the league. That we had them. I think they were 32 early in the season, and, you know, rightfully so, off to a horrible start. They are slowly turning it around. I don't know if they're gonna, you know, get themselves back into a playoff hunt. But just the simple fact that they've turned it around, you got to give Chicago some credit here, I think.
I do. And you know, the controversy swirling around that whole organization with the scandal, obviously, you know, those events happened 11, 12 years ago, but still really casting that organization in a negative light. And for the players to regroup after that and get back on track and start to build things up again, I give them a lot of credit for what they've been able to accomplish lately.
Yeah. And I finally, I have to give some credit to the Ottawa Senators. They no longer have a three next to their ranking. They are not 30, 31, or 32. They are now number 29 out of it. So that with the Kraken at 30, the Canadiens at 31 and the Coyotes at 32, I don't agree with that. I think you, no. I think you've got to put Montreal at the bottom, and, you know, simply because they have the least points in the league. But I will always say, like, the Coyotes were not expected to do anything. When you have a team that went to the Stanley Cup final, and I know it was an odd year last year, and, you know, with the divisions and all that stuff, and you're an original six team, you are a classic team in the Montreal Canadiens. To be laying the egg all season long like you have been, you're the worst team in the league to me, and not the Coyotes.
I agree with that. I think they should be flip-flopped. And look, new GM in town now, so maybe the rebuild starts. But look, losing Carey Price to start, you know, before the season even started certainly didn't help. But the Montreal Canadiens right now, you know, you say a classic team. They may be the classic team.
And yeah.
No organization has won more Stanley Cups than the Montreal Canadiens, even if they haven't won since 1993. I'm old enough to remember them winning four straight cups in the late 70s. So it's, you know, don't tell anyone, but but I remember those great teams. And you know, those fans and that organization expected to win every year. And to see this organization so low right now, it's kind of shocking.
It is. It really, really is. And like I said, we expected the Coyotes to be there, and they're putting up the best fight possible. I don't think anybody expected Montreal to be bad, and definitely not this bad. So
exactly
for that reason, I think they're 32. But I think that's going to wrap it up for today. Another Thursday power ranking. So once again, thank you, Gil, for covering for Adam for this week. I expect Adam to be back next week, but if not, we'll get Gil back here again, because I think
anytime talking some always great stuff. To be with you,
and definitely follow him over on Locked On Avalanche. Yeah, follow me on Locked On Avalanche, follow him on Locked On Islanders. And thank you for making this your first listen of the day. Check out the Locked On Now podcast, where we get our collection of game summaries, and they put them all together in a nice, neat little package. And you can listen to Locked On Now wherever you get your podcast. So that's going to wrap it up for today, everybody. We'll, on the YouTube side, we'll blow up the power rankings one more time for your viewing pleasure. And we will be back next week with a fresh batch of power rankings. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next week.